Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in Philippians to chapter 4. We're going to look at one verse today as we're coming toward the end of this letter that Paul wrote. We'll be looking at verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Amen. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. The Apostle Paul has been thanking the Philippians for their generous gifts that they had given to him in the past, and then this most recent gift that came along by the hands of Epaphroditus as they sent him to Paul in Rome. And what he has mentioned to the Philippians is that their gift is a living demonstration of their partnership with Paul in his ministry and in his trials. So they have had fellowship with him in all that he has done in terms of spreading the gospel in that part of the world, and they have fellowship with him in his trials. It's like they are in prison with him. And so this gift has shown their commitment to him and to the missionary work of the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so now Paul reminds them, and of course through them, us as well, that God is the greatest gift giver ever. That you can't outdo God when it comes to giving marvelous gifts. That it is God who supplies your every need. And He does this in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul begins by speaking about God. He speaks about his God. He says, "And my God." Notice how Paul starts this. He calls God his God. God is personal to Paul. God is not some idea, some abstract of some God that might possibly exist somewhere. No, for the Apostle Paul, God is real. This is not a false God. This is not Allah. This is not an idol like Baal. This is not what people today talk about, God as you imagine Him, or the God of your own choosing. No, this is the God of the Bible. This is the one true and living God. This is the one who saved the Apostle Paul, who called him to be a minister and apostle to the Gentiles. God is real to Paul, and God is really known to him. Is He real to you in the same way? God had revealed Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ when He called Paul on that Damascus road. You remember Paul, having been struck down, asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the response is, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." He commissioned the Apostle Paul to be His apostle. He sent him to the Gentiles with the gospel. He spoke to Paul often by the Holy Spirit. He was with Paul all the time, whether Paul was shipwrecked and at sea, whether Paul was having a good time in preaching the gospel, in good times and in bad, God was always with the Apostle Paul. And so Paul had a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is the true God. "And my God," Paul says. He's the only true and living God, because you see, all the other gods that you can ever imagine are what? They are vain idols. Psalm 96:5 says, "For all the gods of the nations, all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens." And so there's only one God, the true God. Everything else that passes for God is a false god, is an idol, is worthless. The Lord and the Lord alone is the true God. The triune God is the true God. He alone really and truly exists. This is the God who spoke to Abram when he was in Ur of the Chaldees and called him to leave there and go to the land that He promised to give to him and to his children. This is the God who was with Joseph when Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt. And yet, through all of this, the point that God was making, the work that God was doing, was He was saving people alive. And so he protected Israel from famine, and he protected them in the land of Egypt for 400 years. This is the God who came to his people and spoke to Moses, and through Moses delivered the people from Egypt by many signs and great wonders, who provided for Israel throughout 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. This is the God of Joshua, who brought the people of Israel into the land of Canaan and enabled them to conquer that land. This is the God who provided first judges and later kings for his people to lead them in his way. This is the God who sent prophets to his people to call them to repentance when they had sinned against him. This is the God who delivered his sinful people into the hand of enemies so that they might be taught not to trust in idols, but to trust in him alone. This is the God who brought his people back from captivity to dwell once more in the land of Canaan. This is the God who promised to send his Messiah, the Savior of sinners. And this is the God who did exactly that, who sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. This is the God who accepted the perfect work that Jesus Christ did in his life and in his death for all of the elect of God. This is the one and only true God, the one who saves you, the one who promises to provide for your every need. So think back on how he has always provided for his people. Think of all of those provisions throughout all of the time in history, and you can see just how much you can trust him to provide for you today as he has provided for you in the past and as he promises to provide for you in the future. Paul says, "And my God will supply every need." Your need, every need. God's always supplying need, isn't he? Think about how God called on Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac on the mountain. And as Abraham was about to do that, God stopped him by his angel and provided a substitute, a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. A substitute for Isaac there on the mount. God provided that substitute. God provided manna in the wilderness for 40 years for his people Israel so that they did not starve. God kept their clothing from wearing out, their shoes from wearing out. It's amazing to me. It absolutely is amazing to me. I owned one pair of what would be considered fairly expensive shoes one time in my life, and I wore those things out only wearing them to church. Now, how can you do that? And I didn't wear the heels out. I wear heels out on shoes all the time. I wore the soles out. And they were leather soles. Must not have been very good leather soles. And that was just standing still. I don't do a lot of moving around. I'm not one of these preachers that prances back and forth. I'm here. You know, this is what you get. I learned to preach in a pulpit that was like 20 feet above the ground. And so you don't dance around a lot. You fall down the stairs. And so my shoes wore out standing still. 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out. 40 years, their clothes did not wear out. God provided for them, gave them food, gave them water. The rock that followed them was Christ, and he provided water from the rock. God supplied the pillar of cloud by day as a covering to protect them from the heat of the desert, and as a pillar of fire by night to protect them from the cold of the desert, and to lead and guide them through the wilderness for 40 years. God provided prophets to teach them his word. God provided priests in the Old Testament to make atonement for the sins of the people by pointing forward to the one perfect, complete, full sacrifice that would be given by Christ that actually provides for forgiveness of sin. God supplied kings to lead his people according to his word. And God supplied his son as the fulfillment of these offices of prophet, priest, and king. To provide knowledge. To provide righteousness. To provide protection and guidance for his people. So, whatever your need is, God can and will supply that need in his son. He will supply your every need. God, my God, will supply every need of yours, Paul says. Now, Paul does not say, God will supply every want. There are lots of folks that wish that that's the way this promise read. That if I want something, God's going to give it to me. And there are false prophets in our day who make that claim, oh, God will give you whatever you wish for. Of course, they couch it in terms of prayer, and they tell you that God will give you anything that you pray for. However, their idea of this is not the biblical idea. Their idea is vain imaginings. As Reverend Ike used to say, mink coats, diamond rings, and Cadillacs. Well, we're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount soon, and we're going to see that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about diamond rings and mink coats and Cadillacs. He's talking about meeting your needs, not what you want. And so to reduce the promise to the merely physical and monetary the way so many false prophets do today is to corrupt what God actually promises you. God says He will meet not your wants, but He will meet your every need. Are you in need of forgiveness of sins? God will meet that need. God promises that when you confess your sins to Him, He will forgive you through His Son. If we say we have no sin, John says in 1 John chapter 1, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you in need of fellowship? God provides that as well. He promised Israel that He would be with them in fellowship throughout their entire life. Listen to Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am He, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bear. I will carry and will save. Can you imagine a greater promise than that? God is with you from before the time that you're born all the way up to the time that you die. From the time that you have no hair when you come forth from the womb to the time that you have no hair when you die. And gray hair in between. God's with you and He carries you. God promises fellowship with Him and with His church through Jesus. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so God promises fellowship with Himself, with His Son, Jesus. Are you in need of defense from enemies? King David learned to trust the Lord as his fortress and his refuge. He said in 2 Samuel, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. David piles up image upon image upon image, a fort, a shield, a stronghold, all of these things. Are you in need of protection in the here and now and in the hereafter? God meets that need. I mentioned earlier in the prayer, Deuteronomy 33:27, which starts out this way. It says, the eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You see, that's the marvelous thing. We can fall down, but we cannot fall from the grasp of God. He holds us. He catches us. Are you in need of provision in the midst of troubles and trials and testing? God tested Israel and yet provided for them in their testing. Moses says this to Israel in Deuteronomy 8. And He, God, talking about God, He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna that you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Are you in need of being lifted up when you've fallen down? God will take you by the hand. Isaiah 41, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Most of all, are you in need of salvation? God meets that need in His Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God meets those needs according to His glorious riches. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory," it says. Notice that Paul does not say that He will supply your needs out of His glorious riches, as though like a rich man might give a small amount away and still have millions and millions left over. But what Paul says is God will supply your every need according to His glorious riches. That means in proportion to His infinite resources. God's riches are glorious riches. He doesn't give trifling amounts. He doesn't give small amounts to His children. He gives to you in such a way that His giving abounds more and more. Listen to Luke 6:38. "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This past week, I had the wonderful, joyful opportunity to try to fill up a jar with brown sugar. I knew that the bag of brown sugar will actually fit in the brown sugar jar that I've got. I know it'll fit in there. And I start pouring, and it looks like I've got more left than's going to fit in the jar. So what you do is exactly what Jesus mentions here. I got a spoon out, and I begin to press the brown sugar down into the jar. And I press down, pour some more, press down, until I got it right to the very top. And yes, the whole thing did fit in that jar. But Jesus talks about not just having the whole thing fit in the jar, but you keep pouring and you keep pouring and it overflows because there's more than the jar can hold. You press it down, you put as much into it, you pack it down in there, but there's still yet more to come, more to give. And so when God pours salvation into your life, it doesn't just fill every single nook and cranny, but it overflows from you so that you spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. When God gives you whatever that gift might happen to be, it does fill you up entirely. It spreads to every inch of your body, every inch of your soul, every inch of your life, but it spreads, it overflows from you to others. That's what God's gifts are all about. And so, when God gives you these things in Christ, they overflow from you to others. "And my God will supply every need of yours, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." You'll never face any trial. You'll never face any temptation. You'll never discover any need that God will not provide for and enable you to provide for others as well. I know of a couple of young folks who went to seminary, two young families. They were married at about the same time. Their wives worked in jobs that got similar paychecks, and the two men worked in seminary to pay off the debts that they had. And so they brought in almost exactly the same amount every month. One young family was committed to tithing, and so when they got a paycheck, the first thing they did was sit down and write a tithe check to the church. The other young family, as soon as they got their paycheck, they went out to eat and they spent money. And then at the end of the month, they were going to sit down and tithe and discovered they had no money left. As a matter of fact, they had more month left than they had paycheck, often about a week. And what God did was He enabled the first young couple to feed that second young couple often the last week of the month. And they got the same amount. You see, one of those couples approached life with, "We owe God everything. We will give God from the first fruits." And the other couple approached life with the idea of, "Well, if we have anything left over, we'll give it to God. And they said, we can't afford to tithe because we don't have enough. But God provides. He provides enough that when He fills our lives, it overflows to others as well. But He only does it for believers in Jesus Christ. Notice that He will provide your, will supply your every need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Only if you are a believer in His Son as your Savior. All of these blessings are only found in Christ. They are only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot expect these promises to be fulfilled in your life if you are not trusting in Christ as your Savior. So while all the promises are yes and amen, they are only yes and amen in Jesus. So if you've only heard of Jesus Christ but have never put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, all of these promises are true for others, but they are not true for you. Not now, if you're apart from Him. You must turn from your sins. You must put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you must do so right away, for you do not know how long you have to live or when your soul will be demanded of you. Think of the rich man who had so much stuff that his silo couldn't hold it all. And he thought, well, I'll just tear down that silo and build a bigger silo. And God said, fool, this night your soul is demanded of you. And then who's going to get your stuff? Flee to Christ now. And you will find in Him the perfect provision for your every need in this life and in the one to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You for these important truths that Paul reminds us of. How we thank You that You are the God who provides for our every need in Christ. And Father, whatever that need might truly be, You are the one who takes care of us. You provide for us. And we find comfort in that. We find help in that. We find, Lord, that at any time that we have a trial or a temptation, that at any time that we're in trouble or any time that we're doing well, we find that You provide for us all that is necessary for us to have in Christ. How we thank You. Bless us to grow in that love and knowledge of You and serve You through Christ all of our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.